Next up, we've got, well, everybody knows Professor Anderson, and soon you're all going to know Ladd Stricker. This is the first time he's presenting for us. He's an associate with an Austin law firm, Sanders Bajwa. He practices even commercial litigation with an emphasis on oil and gas and real estate disputes. He earned his Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from the University of Texas at Arlington and his JD from the University of Texas School of Law. And he's here to talk to us today about rules of interpretation and canons of construction. Please join me in welcoming Ladd Stricker.
Thank you. Thanks. Excellent. Thank you. That's certainly a tough act to follow. I'm honored to be here today to present at the Institute, and my topic is on rules of interpretation and canons of construction. And I'm excited to present on this topic because there is a bit of confusion and even frustration on my part when it comes to trying to draw a line between these two pillars of contract law, interpretation principles and construction principles. And my goal here today is to try to dispel some of that confusion to the extent I can by first providing an overview of how the rules and canons differ generally, both in concept and in their application with respect to construing unambiguous instruments. Then I want to turn to the Texas Supreme Court case, this well-known case, Piranha Partners v. Newhoff in 2020, because it's rich with analysis on the canons of construction and how they should be applied going forward. And then lastly, I want to go through some more recent cases that rely heavily on Piranha Partners, and in doing so, appear to more liberally apply certain canons of construction that commonly come up in the oil and gas context, namely the canon that courts should construe an instrument to convey the greatest estate possible, and also the canon that attempts to reserve or accept interest in deeds should be expressly and clearly stated, otherwise they fail. So without further ado, I want to kick things off first with a high-level sort of conceptual distinction between rules and canons. As some Texas courts have explained, the rules of interpretation are used to determine the meaning of an instrument, whereas canons of construction, on the other hand, are used to determine the legal effect of an instrument. So let's unpack that a bit. The meaning of an instrument, as described by the courts and legal scholars, is derived from the intentions of the parties, as manifested by their expressions and terms they used in the instrument itself. And the rules of interpretation are used to arrive at the meaning of the instrument because they are tools that courts use to decode and ascertain what the parties meant and intended by the words and symbols they chose to express within the four corners of the instrument. So on this slide here, I just have some examples of rules of interpretation that many courts have just commonly summarized as belonging to that category of principles. And many or probably all of them are familiar to everyone in this room because they are commonly referenced in any opinion having anything to do with an interpretation of an instrument. They are that we construe an instrument as a whole, that we do not construe terms in isolation or out of context. There's also the well-known rule that we need to construe the words according to their plain and ordinary meaning at the time of the drafting, unless, of course, there is some contrary intent evident within the instrument itself. There's also the rule that we need to construe the instrument so as to not render any provision meaningless, the idea that we need to harmonize all of the provisions and ensure that they are reconciled. And then lastly, there's the rule that the surrounding circumstances can be considered. That is, the circumstances surrounding the execution of the instrument, provided that those circumstances inform the meaning of the language in the instrument and do not augment or contradict the terms to use. There's an important public policy consideration behind these rules that's evident. It's freedom of contract. The idea that people should be able to freely choose what terms they wish to impose and consent to. And under this policy, the idea is that the court's role should be to simply try to ascertain and uncover the party's will, and in turn enforce the party's will all going to this policy that there's freedom of contract.